As we were just about to come up for Mass, in his inimitable way, Father Edwin asked me, he said, "Are you going to explain the complete mystery of the Holy Trinity this morning?" And I said, "No, actually, as a matter of fact, I was going to say that right at the outset, that I was actually not going to do that." And it's a good thing, too, because if I could explain to you the totality of the mystery of the Holy Trinity, we wouldn't have much of a God, would we? If it's a God that me, can completely understand and explain, that wouldn't be much of a God. And so, of course, the ultimate mystery of God, which is the Holy Trinity, is completely beyond our understanding. But that doesn't get us off the hook, Father, from having to preach on the Holy Trinity. Sometimes I've heard preachers get up and say, "Well, you know, the Holy Trinity is an absolute mystery, so I'm going to talk about, you know, baseball or something like that, whatever, you know." So, but we're not going to do that. Because even though we certainly cannot understand and penetrate with our own limited understanding and everything else, the totality of God, we shouldn't be discouraged by that, because God has revealed to us very, very, very important things about himself that we can know and that we do know, and it's very, very important for us always to remember. And our gospel today starts off with one of the most famous passages in Scripture, you know, at least in this modern era. If you see people, back when we had football games and things like that, you saw people waving, you know, posters. They would refer to the first verse of this gospel today, John 3:16. And this is the ultimate revelation that we have about God. And this is enough for a lifetime right here. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And one of the first things that tells us is that in God, God isn't some sort of isolated being. That God is in relationship. If there's a son, then there's a father, right? And God the Father and God the Son love each other from all eternity. And that love, as we were speaking about last week, is the Holy Spirit, the person love of God. And so the Most Blessed Trinity is a loving communion of persons. That's one thing we know. And loving not only within it's the life of the Holy Trinity itself, which is spectacular enough. But that love goes out. And at a certain point, in some mysterious way that only God himself will be able to reveal to us, the love of God burst forth out of the Holy Trinity and caused everything else that is to be. Out of that overflowing, fruitful, and abundant love of God. And that's a very, very important thing to know. That ultimately, love is the reason for everything that is. The love of God. And there's really no other reason for it. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself this question? Why do I exist rather than not existing? I can't think of any really good reason except for one, the love of God. That for some reason or another, God loves me into existence and loves you into existence and loves the whole world into existence and keeps us in being in love every single moment of our lives. You know, we tend to, in these days, I don't know, it's kind of easy when these very, very unusual things keep happening in our world, unpredictable things that kind of throw everything off. It's easy for us to say things like, oh, everything's falling apart and stuff like that. And there's a certain truth to that or whatever. But, you know, it's really not true, actually, you know. There is so much more good in this world, most especially the love of God for us, that how we can even, frankly, even practically notice any of these other things, it's kind of hard to imagine. You know, back several weeks ago now, earlier in this whole pandemic kind of stuff and shutdown stuff and everything, I remember sharing with you about, I had read something about these astronomers. Again, I don't know how they know this, but it's kind of neat. I don't know, it's kind of thing that maybe Breeden or Alex would be interested in. It's kind of thing that I think little boys might, they said that this planet, they discovered that it's so hot and so inhospitable that there, it rains molten iron. You know, it ain't raining molten iron here, is it? You know, hey, thanks be to God, you know, and a lot of other things too, you know, like that, that is just simply, you know, if we say something like this world of ours, you know, oh, it's just a coincidence that this world is gorgeous. For this morning, I'm afflicted with waking up really early, and I woke up, I took a little walk early this morning. Beautiful, gorgeous full moon this morning. Did you see it before it set? Beautiful, you know? And so there is this love of God and in all things. And what's even more lovely about the love of God is that we are drawn into it. That the image of the love of God is of a loving communion of persons. And again, I've shared this story with you too. It's one of those things I tell you, when you get old, you just have a limited number of stories and you keep trotting them out over and over again. So sorry about that. But I think I told you about going on retreat. There's this retreat house I've gone to several times. It's down in Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, a little town called Schulenburg, Texas, anyhow. And there's a beautiful shrine there to the Holy Family out on the grounds. It's very, very pretty, beautiful little relief statue of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Very beautiful, very peaceful. And there's a little plaque there that says, you know, something like asking for calling the Holy Trinity, referring to it as sort of the earthly Trinity, in imitation of the heavenly Trinity. That the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in some ways on this earth, shows us an image of the heavenly Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's not just true of the Holy Family, it's supposed to be true of all of our families. And it's also true of our relationship within this loving communion of persons. It's that we have been made members of the family of God. Today, we celebrate the first Holy Communion for Breeden and Alexander. And this is another step in their life in the family of God, which began on the most important day of their lives, which is the day of their baptism. You know, baptism is so interesting, so important. The baptism of the Lord is the first time we ever see the Holy Trinity referred to together all at once. We see the Holy Trinity at the baptism for the first time. There's the voice of the Father speaking from heaven. There's the Lord Jesus being baptized in the Jordan. And there's the Spirit descending in the form of a dove. That's the first complete revelation of the Holy Trinity that we have. And what is it that the Father says? He says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And you know, that's what he said to Breeden and Alex on the day of their baptism too. "You are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." You became a member of that family of God. That's our destiny, is to live in that loving communion of persons, which is the Holy Trinity. And we come to know that love and what that sort of means, really, frankly, within the love of our human families and within the love of the family of God here on earth within the church. And so we celebrate this wonderful day with them as they come to accept the love of God for them in an even newer and deeper way. The particular love of God that is revealed to us in the gospel today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he gave his only son so that we might have life, that we might have eternal life. And the way that we come into contact with that throughout our lives is the way that Breeden and Alex are going to experience for the first time today, which is in receiving Jesus Christ, body and blood, soul and divinity, into their bodies and into their souls to feed them and strengthen them and to send them, keep them going on their way to the next steps in their life as they go forward. And that's true of all of us. And so this Feast of the Holy Trinity is so sublime and so mysterious and yet so simple in a way as well. You know, it would be very, very hard to explain the love of your family to someone. You know, the great French mathematician and philosopher Blaise Pascal, he used this expression, and he was a great man of science and great man of reason, but he used this expression of the reasons of the heart. You know, like, for example, if somebody asks you, why do you love your mother? Well, you could say a lot of things. Oh, she made great chocolate chip cookies or whatever, or this or that. I mean, all these. And sure, yeah, I mean, that's great or whatever. But that's not why you love your mother, you know? It would probably be very, very difficult, really, to put into words why you love your mother. Yet it's not an irrational thing to love your mother, is it? Even though perhaps rational expression might fail us. It is a reason, it's truly rational, but of the heart. And that's how I think we come to really know this sublime mystery of the Holy Trinity. Even though we don't pretend to like go into the total depths of it in profound theological terms, we know what it means to be loved. And we know what it means to desire love and to have that desire fulfilled. We know what that means. We know there's no greater desire in our hearts than that one. And that God does not leave that desire unfulfilled. He does it in so many ways. And perhaps the most profound and most beautiful way he does it is in giving us his only son that we might have life in him. That life that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have known and shared from all eternity. And that when, like at that one point in time in which for some reason, that life and love goes out and creates. That's one of the things we talked about. There's one of those beautiful hymns to the Holy Spirit we had last week. Vene Creator Spiritus, come Creator Spirit. It says in the book of Genesis, the Spirit of God moved on the waters and then things came to be. You know, that's what the love of God does for us. And so today, I'm just so excited we have the opportunity to experience with these young men their first time to receive the love of God in this very profound way. This love of the Father for us in giving us his only Son that we might have life. And I hope and pray, and I'm sure it will. It's already edifying me, already just thinking about it. I'm so excited about Holy Communion today, to tell you the truth. And entering into that mystery, you know, through the understanding of love that we experience here in this world and in this life, to be taken up into that heavenly Trinity, that loving communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to realize that Holy Communion, our first Holy Communion, and every single one that we take right up to the end, Holy Communion that you receive right at the time of death is called viaticum, the food for the journey, the food for the way, will lead us into that loving communion of persons, where our heart will come to its complete and total fulfillment. But that understanding that we already have in our hearts of the love of God for us. And so let that, you know, buck you up every day, you know, remembering God loves me. God loves me. You know, and for those of you who are married, remember that's your job in the church, is to remind all of us of that through, by your love for one another. I had a wedding here yesterday. I love these sacraments during this time, actually. You know, and I told that couple, that's your job, is to show us what the love of God looks like. That sacrificial love, that self-giving love. And today, the fullest sign of that is in the most blessed sacrament, where Jesus gives us himself with his own hands. And so let us also entrust ourselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to the Mother of Jesus, and to our Mother, who will always lead us to him every step of the way.